back to season two of Through the Looking Glass. My name is Lavanya, and I started this podcast to talk about the unique millennial struggles, particularly ambitious South Asians face every day. My goal is to empower listeners, even in the smallest way possible, and improve your well-being. If you find my podcast and enjoying it, please take a minute to rate the show. It would really make a huge difference for a brand new show and lets me know that I'm doing a good job. If you want to know more about me behind the scenes and podcast clips, follow me on Instagram. Welcome back to Through the Looking Glass. So today's episode is all about how to set healthy boundaries when you're dealing with toxic behavior, particularly with your brown family members. My goal is to help you understand unhealthy behaviors and give you actionable steps to improve your emotional and physical well-being. Recognizing toxic behavior and setting boundaries is so important for your mental health. I've noticed children of immigrants are often stuck in the loop of generational trauma. It can manifest in the form of people-pleasing, lack of boundaries, anxiety, burnout, toxic relationships, perfectionism, and unrealistic expectations, and I'm sure I'm only scratching the surface here. Sometimes our tendencies and familial dynamics are so normalized, it can be difficult to recognize that it is toxic in some nature, or at least preventing you from reaching your highest potential. Recognizing unhealthy behavior within families can be difficult, since most roles that get played out starts in childhood. These are common situations that I've noticed. A child steps into a peacemaker or mediator role to pacify arguments amongst the adults who are irritated or angry. Often a child takes on adult responsibilities like parenting a younger sibling. In some scenarios, the child turns into an assistant to the parent who is physically or emotionally overwhelmed. This type of dynamics can lead to unhealthy dependence from one or more parents in adulthood, which disables the person from forming their own life and independence. There can be guilt tripping, feeling isolated, even manipulation involved in many of these situations. Another common scenario that stems in childhood is when you're criticized for not doing anything right, or being labeled as the rule breaker or the black sheep of the family. Often people who are seen as defiant can be put down or even humiliated or even betrayed in some way that leads them to feel invalidated. There can be shame and or guilt that plays a role in some way to gain power or manipulate the person to fit into a predefined role or mold that they're expected to fulfill, especially women. The opposite can also occur with someone who is the hero or golden child, which can be equally damaging because it leads to feeling like love has to be earned by saving the rest of the family, adding this undue pressure and guilt to fulfill these endless expectations in adulthood. All of these behaviors can create an unhealthy environment with lack of boundaries and empathy, including lack of personal space and privacy. In some cases, people deal with constant conflicts, even hostility or aggression towards one or more person. If any of this resonates with you, this episode is for you. Any behavior or scenario that makes you feel unloved, unwanted, or even bad about yourself is most likely not a healthy one. Next, I want to break down four steps you can take to deal with a toxic family member in your life. As a disclaimer, while I do give examples within the brown community and common particularly from the female perspective, it can be applicable to any toxic family or gender. I'm just drawing from what I've seen and experienced in my own community. Anyways, let's get into it. The first step when it comes to setting boundaries is conflict resolution, in my opinion. So let's take a step back. Facing family can be difficult. Just because they are your family doesn't mean that they have the best intentions for you. And family doesn't automatically equate support either. I don't want to sugarcoat the fact that sometimes our family members can be the most toxic people in our lives. It's hard to justify ending a relationship with your parents when they have done so much for you and given you so much throughout your life. And for most, that might not be necessary. You may need to communicate and tell them how you feel. You might be surprised by how many people, including parents, who are oblivious to their own toxic behaviors. Especially brown parents or immigrant parents in general have so much love to give, and most of them do genuinely have good intentions for you. I've noticed certain behaviors is normalized in the brown community. One common thread that I've noticed is the emphasis on education. My whole life, I was told studying was my only job. There's a known clear-cut path to success, and the proven path is becoming a doctor, lawyer, or engineer. Creative talents are often discarded as hobbies at best. While the failure to understand that success can take many paths, especially in our society with evolving career paths, new jobs, and business ventures exist today that didn't when we were growing up, and I'm sure it'll change drastically by the time our kids become adults. But being open-minded and risk-taking is not something that brown parents are comfortable with. This stems from their own generation living in the survival mode of coming to the US, making a living, and just keeping their head down. While that sacrifice is admirable, it's not a justification to constantly be cynical and negative and shoot down your ideas or goals. I think taking the time to think from their perspective helps understand they might have limiting beliefs and social conditioning to act in a certain way. Start with pointing out that their reactions and language is hurtful to you. Offer suggestions like taking time to react and listening to your perspective. Also remember that support requires trust and communication goes both ways. Often brown parents react out of fear, so find ways to minimize fear by giving them more information on your plans. Another example that comes to mind is traveling as a brown girl. When I was younger, my mom literally told me I wasn't allowed to travel anywhere until I got married and I should travel with my husband if I want to go to another country. While that was infuriating to hear and caused a lot of arguments at that time, we eventually found a way to see eye to eye. Ultimately, my parents wanted me to be safe, and as long as I was taking precautions and with friends, they were able to make their peace that I'm going to go on these trips. The biggest advice I can give when it comes to resolving conflict is not to engage in arguments. Especially when both parties are heated or emotional, you want to focus on simply stating what your plans or feelings are about a certain behavior. And this goes without saying, as an adult, you should never ask permission, only share what your plans and intentions are. Tell them that they should mull it over and just leave. If a fight is breaking out, say you have to study or work out, and just disengage from these arguments as best as you can. If someone is stirring up an argument by attacking you in some way, just say you don't wish to discuss this with them when they're raising their voice. Even calling out the fact that someone is yelling or being mean to you will help them become more self-aware. I hope these pointers help disengage from conflict, and this gives both parties time to cool off. The goal here is to set some ground rules for conflict resolution and what you're willing to put up with. The truth is, you can't change others unless they are willing to change themselves. You can only influence them or facilitate a conversation, which brings me to my next step. What do you do when you can't seem to resolve conflict and get through to the other person? Creating distance or dissociating is a necessary step when setting boundaries. I think it's important to take your power back in a toxic dynamic. What you put your energy into is within your control. Sometimes shifting your perspective and focusing on something new and positive can help you gain your energy back. This is particularly useful when you're living in the same household. As someone who's independent of my parents, if they annoy me, I always have the option of not answering their calls or postponing my response. Again, going back to not engaging in toxic behavior is critical. It's not a permanent fix, of course, but it gives you the chance to create some peace. Especially if you're living with your parents or visiting them for a long period of time, you can set some limits on how you spend your time. Go to your room and read a book, or go out for a run. This toxic person is trying to engage. Whether it's to shame or guilt trip you about something, say this: I hear what you say. Thanks for registering your opinion. That's it. No further justification needed. And sometimes leaving the room helps also. Another example, when you're dealing with someone who's dependent on you or emotionally dumping on you, you can say that you're busy today, but you're going to set some time apart another day to help them. That can help set a healthy boundary to give you the time to take care of yourself first before you are giving any energy to another person. For all you know, maybe they sort it out themselves and they don't need your help anyways. Sometimes you have to let people figure out their own needs despite past behavior. Just because they are your parent or family member doesn't allow them ownership of your time or energy in any way. You are allowed to put your needs first, and there's no shame in that. Often in brown communities, girls are conditioned to be the givers of the family. Take care of everybody else. While helping others can be rewarding, it shouldn't be the sole purpose of your life. And no one should ever make you feel guilty for not giving either. A big part of your 20s is figuring out who you are, what your purpose is in life, and exploring the world. It's natural to create your own community with your friends, and that's not an insult to your family or diminishes the bond that you have with your family. That certainly doesn't make you the troublemaker either. If your family is holding you back or isolating you by manipulating you in some way, that's a sign it's a toxic dynamic. And you should set some boundaries by dissociating for your own well-being. Another way to think about it is creating an incentive for change. Unless someone is on a self-growth, self-awareness journey, they don't have a reason to change the status quo unless you challenge it. By denying to play along and distancing yourself from putting up with bad behavior, it can motivate the toxic person to make efforts to change or at least follow your boundaries. You set the rules to what it takes for them to keep you in their lives. The third step is closely related to step two, emotional detachment. Detachment might be the hardest step in a way because it's about the inner work, but a necessary one if you're dealing with a toxic family member. This is all part of shifting your mindset. You have to face the reality of your situation that some people are not capable of change. It can be sad and frustrating to experience that in your own family. As much as you want them to act in a certain way, that might never be achievable, or it may even take years to make progress. I know that with my own family, it took years for them to understand how different my life trajectory is compared to what they expected it to be. Often, immigrant parents hold on to their societal expectations and norms from the 80s or 90s or whenever they moved abroad and tend to have false expectations for their kids to follow these antiquated practices. It stems from clinging on to their origin country out of a need to belong. If they're frozen in time, there's only so much you can do. Maybe your parents may never fully understand your perspective, which can be painful to deal with. And that's why emotional detachment is hard inner work. Sometimes making peace with the limitations our family has is all we can do. Focus on allowing others to be who they are and don't force situations. This requires practice and learning to separate your ego from actuality. But you can teach your brain to let go. Focus on your own peace. That's the highest goal. I saw this mental exercise where you imagine this invisible bubble around you, and nothing, actions, or words can enter that bubble to affect you. I thought this was an interesting way to visualize detachment. Basically, you want to tap into being unbothered by external factors that's bringing you down. Ultimately, when it comes to unhealthy behaviors, you only give them power if you let them into your environment. So take your power back and focus on yourself. The final step to setting boundaries with toxic family has to do with financial independence. I particularly wanted to talk about this because of the role money plays in families. Money can be used as a form of control, especially when it's an obstacle to you making your own choices. This is true beyond the brown community, of course. When you are financially dependent on anyone, your parents or spouse, they have a stake in your actions. When you add behaviors like guilt tripping, isolating you, or even saying you have to make certain choices in life because your family provides for you, it leads to this power imbalance. Going back to my example about emphasis on education and brown families, immigrant parents can be so generous when it comes to paying for college, etc., which is amazing. But I've also noticed a lack of financial education in brown communities. There's de-emphasis on having your own money. It's often seen as a bad thing, especially for women. It's common for parents to even keep your gift money growing up, as an example. While in many situations, these practices are benign in relevance to unhealthy behavior, but financial dependence is one way to control someone's actions. And I just want to remind you, your parents chose to have you and raise you, which includes taking care of you, educating you, and all of that. That should never be used as a reason why you owe them something in return. I've seen this given as a justification, and I have to respectfully disagree. As a parent, you should want to make your child self-sufficient to at the least survive in the real world. If you're getting anything less than that, I would say it's a sign to really examine the relationship and figure out what boundaries you need to set. If you feel you're dealing with any of these unhealthy behaviors I hit on today and you don't have financial independence, I would start with focusing on that. Get a job to support yourself, save your money for yourself, move out of your parents' house if that's applicable for you. Creating your own life outside of your overbearing family will set you free in many ways. It also gives you leverage in a way to motivate your family to treat you the way that you want them to and respect your boundaries. Finally, I want to wrap up today's episode with building habits to shift your mindset and practice emotional regulation. One of the obstacles with unhealthy behavior and toxic family members is knowing how to emotionally regulate yourself. Creating habits to survive is so important, and I would focus on calming your nervous system. It's an important step to manage stress and think clearly to set boundaries. I would try the detachment mental exercise I just talked about. I would also work on meditation. Personally, I do struggle with meditation, but it's a skill like anything else to develop, and it plays a huge role in balancing your emotions. There are so many great videos on YouTube for meditation or apps like Headspace. I would figure out what habits you can build that helps you cope. I might sound like a broken record at this point, but journaling is a big one. Prioritize your self-care and self-love practices. Everyone should have a morning and nighttime routine, even if it's just 10 minutes. Do that for yourself and set the boundary with others to let you have your alone time. Also, you need to find a way to increase your dopamine level. Maybe exercise is your thing. Physical movement is super important for the happy hormones to kick in. You would be surprised how much your body holds trauma. And lastly, I cannot stress the impact therapy can have if you are able to afford it. The personalized inner work and coping mechanisms that you can learn to set boundaries with toxic people in therapy would be the best thing that you can do for yourself. To summarize everything that we talked about today, setting boundaries really starts with knowing how to deal with conflict. Work on creating distance and work on your emotional detachment as a way to set healthy boundaries with your toxic family members. Lastly, figure out your finances and the role that it's playing in your life. My goal is to help my fellow South Asians to thrive in their lives. I'm really sorry if you're dealing with any of these issues that I hit on today. I believe in you to implement these changes and take it slow, small steps. If you found this episode helpful or have any other tips that you want to add or just want to share your story with me, I would love to hear from listeners. Thank you so much for watching or listening wherever you are in the world. I'll be back in a couple of weeks with my next episode. Bye!